everyone. Welcome to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. I am a sex and intimacy coach and a psychologist, and I have spent the last 30 plus years helping people to create hot and healthy sexual and intimate relationships. We are working our way through the erotic alphabet one letter at a time. Today, the letter is N, and N is for naked dancing. Joining me is Chloe. Chloe's a dom, pro stripper, and sex industry expert who's been working in the adult industry for the past 10 years. She is also the host of Stripper Stories podcast, and that can be found on https://linktree. So that's linktr.ee/stripper stories, all one word. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Lori. Thank you for having me.
It's so cool to have you here. So let's talk about how did you get into dancing?
Well, that's a bit of a strange story, actually. I would like to say that it just came to me, like, oh, I'm gonna dance one day. I had basically a lot of debt from doing a master's degree, and it was privately educated, so I had to pay a lot of money per year. And I was working in a bar at the time, a cocktail bar. The guy I was dating, he worked as the piano player, and he used to see loads of guys pop their number to me over the bar. And he said to me one day, and he was this type of guy, why don't you work as a stripper? I mean, you're getting so much attention over the bar. Why don't you just earn money from it? I know you're like struggling at the moment. And I thought, what a funny thing to say to me. I'm meant to be your girlfriend. But anyway, I didn't think anything less of it. And carried on with my life. And then we had an argument one day to the point where we broke up. And I thought, you know what? Actually, maybe I should dance. So I went down to the center of London and auditioned, and the same night I worked, and I haven't looked back since. So yeah, it's a strange, very strange story, but I'm really glad that I did it.
So so you've got a master's?
Yes, I do.
That you don't use?
That I don't use, just like a lot of people. But I mean, it's in musical theatre. So I did work in the theatre industry for a little bit. And obviously now, because of COVID, everything is literally ground to a halt. None of our theatres are even opening in London at the moment. So yeah, I'm sticking with the podcast, which I'm actually quite enjoying at the moment. But yeah, master's in a degree I don't use.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I'm not sure if you knew I was in London area. Well, I'm actually in Kent.
Yeah.
COVID. Yeah. So, yeah. My son is just entering Rose Bruford.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Great so school.
He does the backside of things. He's doing creative lighting control, but he also does do theater and acting and stuff like that. And yeah, everything is shut. So they're doing Zoom productions. So what's going, I mean, is stripping still happening right now with COVID?
No, it is not. Everything is closed. As we all know over here, like, it is a very much tumbleweed city when it comes to anything club involved, including strip clubs. Yeah, I think they'll probably be the last things to open. If they do open again, I think. But there has been apparently like drive-through stripping in America. You probably heard about this. People doing like drive-through. That hasn't actually come to the UK yet. And I've done a few Zoom bachelor parties since being in lockdown, which is quite weird, with like 40 men all on a Zoom.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty out there. It was a good lot of money from sitting in the house. But until the time that the clubs open, I work on cam, on adult work.
Right. Which is okay.
A lot safer.
So let's compare that. Do you feel safer working on cam than you do? Just in general, I know it's COVID safer for sure.
Yeah.
But safer working on cam than you do stripping?
No, I wouldn't say so. Not personally for me. I mean, it does have these kind of stigma around it that being a dancer is, you know, handsy everywhere. But it's honestly one of the safest jobs. There's so many bouncers everywhere. Like, there's cameras everywhere. Obviously, there are the exceptions to the rule.
Of course.
There are some strip clubs that are a little bit more naughty than others. But the ones that I've worked in personally, I found completely safe. So, yeah.
You know, I'm a member of it used to be Scarlet Ladies. Now it's Sonder and Beam. I don't know if you know the organization, but it's a group for women to talk about sex, basically, you know, openly talk about sex. And they put on a lot of trainings and things like that. And their home turf was 23 Paul Street.
I know that club very well.
Yeah, I adore that club, actually. So yeah, I spent some time in 23 Paul Street, and because we were located there, I have a key, you know, I've got a key.
Good. They have an amazing setup there. I mean, it's in a great location, and all of the different themed rooms and upstairs, all the dressing up stuff. Like, it is a very individual club. There's
it
not many clubs.
Individual club. And I just like the attitude. And the girls were obviously really comfortable, and there was no, you know, kind of none of the sort of, sometimes there's a little bit of sleaziness. There was none of the sleaziness at all. It was just sometimes some of the patrons were a bit sleazy, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, the girls are normally got it together. It's the people that come into the clubs that got the issue.
No,
absolutely.
It was great.
Yeah.
I know that they do mint teas there. And for those of you who don't know what mint teas is women stripping for women.
Right. I mean, I've never heard that before. But yeah,
Yeah, there's a whole thing.
Wow. I mean, I've obviously stripped for a woman before. Obviously lots and lots of times, but I didn't know there was a like term for it. That's cool.
Yeah, no, they have a night. It's a special night.
Oh, okay. Great.
It's just for women stripping for women.
Oh, ladies night. That's cool.
Yeah. So, and it's a lot of fun. The atmosphere is very different.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. I mean,
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's okay. I used to work at Spearmint Rhino. They used to have like ladies' night on there, and it literally used to be tumbleweed. No one came because I think it's the area. Tottenham Court Road is just more laddie, whereas I think Shoreditch and around that area, there's a lot more of a kind of community there of like gay women, trans women. It's just much more cultural. And I think I think that'd be a fantastic thing to do.
But that's interesting to me. That's really interesting to me. I wonder if they didn't advertise it well enough.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, maybe that was the case. I mean, it was very, very laddie central, though, in that club. You know, Spearmint Rhino is the very, I don't know, the original, one of the original old clubs, isn't it? So, I mean, 23 Paul Street is in on its own, isn't it? Great club, though.
Very good. And I know. I love it. I just love it. No, so how often do you reckon you end up stripping when you're stripping for women on their own or couples, and what's the difference? How does it feel different
compared to men?
Yeah.
Well, I think women, it can go one of two ways. I mean, I've had a lot of great dances with women there, and they just look at the whole body instead of just the tits or the pussy, and they're very like about the artistic form of the woman. I think they're also very complimentary, and I like that. Men aren't as complimentary. They'll just stare and just sit and focus on the one thing, mostly, from what I've experienced. That's the kind of difference. Or women will recoil back into themselves slightly, maybe. I mean, it depends on the reason why they're having the dance. It could be because their boyfriend has sent them to have one, which is never a good thing, really. If a girl actually genuinely wants one, you can tell the difference. Couples are the same. You can have good dances with a couple and bad dances with a couple. There can be jealousy there can be not, or there could be just a great couple that's out on a night out wanting to frisk things up before they go back to the hotel room, which they're the best dances that you want to be involved in, right? The ones that they're actually really enjoying it and no one's actually judging. There's no competitiveness there with two females, you know. When it's a man and a woman, there's no competitive streak at all. Whereas I can sometimes see with women, there can be a little barrier, but that's, for the most part, I've had good experiences.
Well, that's interesting to me. I mean, I've certainly gone to some, I first went to a strip club in San Diego. So, and it was a million years ago. So talk about that. Yeah, no, it just highlights how old I am. I went with the guy I was seeing, and it was a lot of fun. We had a grand time. Mm. I had no idea that the women who were doing the stripping would enjoy that. And actually he got pissed because she paid more attention to me than she did to him.
That is the rule though. That is the girl's rule. Like, we always say this in the clubs, like, you never pay more attention to the guy than you do the girls. And that's just, I don't know whether it's just the sisterhood thing. I think it's more just being polite, and like, you don't really want to make the woman feel like you're coming onto their man. So, and also if you get a girly girl vibe from someone, it's quite fun, isn't it? To make the guy jealous, like, ooh, us girls together are having a bit of fun. And I think it makes for a better environment for everyone.
Yeah. I find that amusing. I mean, if we were to go together, I mean, we're polyamorous, but if I was to go with any of my partners, I you know, it wouldn't be making me jealous. I'm like compulsive. I enjoy watching the dancer with my partner.
Yeah.
I'd be quite happy just to watch. I like to be involved too. It's fun, but it's also just a lot of fun to watch. And I think it's a different attitude. I know that. And so let's talk a bit about these kind of, some of the high points that you would think from doing this kind of work. What do you enjoy most out of it?
I think it's the people that I've met, and also the kind of way it's changed me as a person. I think those two things I wouldn't have been able to find in any other job. I think a lot of people will say this about their jobs, you know, you're a product of your environment at the end of the day. And I wouldn't say that stripping has been a completely positive experience when it comes to my dating life. And also, you know, I was a little bit, when I was a baby stripper, I was a little bit green, didn't really like confrontation, didn't really have much of a, not backbone, but with other women, I just wanted to be friends with everyone. Whereas now I can kind of stick up for myself a lot more. That also comes with the negative side too, of course. But I think it would be the women. I mean, there is quite a camaraderie in working in a female dominated job. I'm sure it's like that in the office environment when there's loads of lads around all around the water cooler talking about tits and ass. Like, women are the same. I think when we get together, we all, I mean, it can be a very positive thing and a very uplifting thing to go home and think, oh yeah, I've got a big gaggle of girlfriends. However, it is quite a fickle industry. So the good friends I've kept, they've seen me at my worst. They've seen me make loads of money. They've seen me make no money. They've seen me get angry and drunk and whatever. If they stick with you and, you know, you can trust them when you're making a lot of money is being exchanged in these clubs. If you can trust the woman that you're working with, it's more than just an average friend, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a positive thing for me. One of the most positive things.
And what would be the things you would say would make you think, yeah, no, that's something that was real negative that I would prefer not to have had to deal with, or.
I think for me, probably, seeing a side of men, and I don't want this to be like man bashing because I'm not, this is just what, from my perspective, the things that I've seen, a side of men that I'm sure a lot of women don't see because they're in there to either, they're a single man on a stag do, right? So that's one thing. Or they're guys who've got women at home, wives, pregnant wives, where they're not fucking their husband, so they're coming to the strip club looking for something else. And then you've got a guy at the beginning of the night when they're not drunk, kind of graduating over a few tequilas, saying, oh, you know I've got a wife, I'm really happily married, but will you come back to the hotel room with me? And these are the kind of highlights that I wouldn't say are the most positive for me. If you're, you know, Hinge dating on a speed, like a sped up level, which is what I'm doing every night, you know, basically right. Speed dating, you're going to encounter a lot of negative experiences. And I think for me, that's one of the things, I mean, I wish I could erase, but then at the same time, I think it's helped me in some facets of my life, but yeah, it's maybe a little bit bitter.
I mean, I do think you do see people in a way because of there is an anonymity there. And so you see people, and if you add alcohol, anytime you add alcohol into the mix, you don't necessarily get the best part of the person. And so you see people sometimes, I suspect, at their worst as a result, because there's that. And also when there's a group of people, they kind of bolster each other's bad behavior, which I never found terribly attractive. So we've got only a couple of minutes till break. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk more about this. I do want to talk a bit about kind of the way alcohol and drugs can play into this sort of type of work, and also bust some of the myths around whether or not somebody, which you've already done by highlighting the fact that you have a master's, whether or not somebody only does this job because they can't do anything else. Right. So we'll be back after these words from our sponsors. See you in a couple of minutes.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Are you ready to live to 100? Join Dr. Joe Casciani and his program that shows us that age is just a number. You can age with fresh and inspiring perspectives, whether it's staying physically fit or keeping mentally fit. With great stories, plenty of advice about successful aging, and brighter outlooks, you just might join those who are living to 100. The Living to 100 Club is broadcast live every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
There is a difference in health and wellness programs. There can be mainstream programs, and then there is something extra. That something extra is called Tips to Keep You Healthy, Happy, and Motivated with your host, Kristen Harper. If you want to hear some behind-the-scenes talk radio when it comes to health and wellness, the why as well as the how, be sure to tune in each week. This show will inspire you to be healthy and happy for life, as well as become the best version of yourself. Listen Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is the A to Z of Sex, featuring Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. We know you have questions. We welcome you to call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Feeling a bit shy? It's okay. Dr. Lori Beth loves to read your emails too. Send them to loribeth@drloribethbisbee.com. Now, more of the A to Z of Sex.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the A to Z of Sex with me, Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. And this week it is N is for Naked Dancing. And we're doing three segments this week. This is segment two of three. And I'm with Chloe. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
So before the break, we were talking about, I said I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the negativity bits, which is about the drug and alcohol sort of influence on this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you notice that it is more of an issue around the profession than in other places, maybe?
I mean, I can only speak from the strip club, but I mean, I would say that obviously it's a nighttime job. It's quite heavily dependent on having a good time. I mean, I know that in other places in the world, you're not allowed to drink in certain clubs. You're not allowed to, you know, it's a lot more strict. In London, it is... very heavy based on alcohol and drugs, I would say, as from both sides, whether it's the girls and the customers. But I do also know that a lot of other people who work in other industries, such as the banking sector and other places like that, where they are constantly going out for work, dinners, lunches, mm-hmm. brunches, and all that kind of thing. And they're all constantly drinking. So drugs are obviously involved in that too. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's an industry that there's any more need for it. It's just the want for it, I think, is quite heavy. And you're exposed to it a lot.
And so does that make it difficult to ration what you drink?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like any job. You can get like carried away with it, I guess. So you have to see it as a job and not a party. And that's one thing I learned very early on, is that when you go into work, you turn up, you get ready, you're in work mode. You know, you can't get too sloppy drunk because no one's making money. No one wants a sloppy stripper.
Right.
You're selling yourself at the end of the day, and your personality and the way you carry yourself matters. So if you're under the influence of X amount of things, it's really not going to go well for you.
Right.
So you do see a lot of girls come in and out of the strip clubs and leave very quickly and lose their jobs and lose their money and customers because they just forget that it is a job. They think they're on a party every night, and you do burn out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in it for the long haul and you want to not look like a haggard old mess, because that actually matters too. It's about pacing yourself, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of longevity, how much longevity do you think there is in this as a career?
Stripping specifically?
Yeah.
I think there isn't, I mean, a long time, I wouldn't say. I mean, I've seen women start at 18 and finish at 45 and they still look 30, and they've taken care of themselves and they've played the long game. By the time they're 45, if they were doing it 20 years ago, they've already bought four houses and they're settled by 45 and they can retire, which was the right thing to do. Whereas now stripping is just like the golden age of porn, it is gone. You know, people are not paying for porn anymore. People are not paying for strip dances anymore because they can get it for free on places like Hinge and Tinder. So they are, it means that it's not just about your age being a factor. It's also about the job, like the job role. It's not a good thing to be doing anymore. You're not earning £10,000 a night anymore. You're earning £500 a night. And for the kind of the weighing up of the lifestyle, I don't think that's worth it when you're 35, you know? So, so yeah, I think that's really a factor.
Although I do think that £500 a night to some people sounds like a huge amount of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money, but it doesn't happen every night, you know? Yeah,
but it's actually not that much money when you break it down. Like, how many hours would it take you to earn something like that?
Well, you'd be there from 9 o'clock at night to 5 o'clock in the morning. And then if you're a good stripper, which, you know, not everybody's decided to do, which is pay their tax, right? That's a huge thing. If you declare most of your money, then a lot of that goes on tax. Then if you're doing travel expenses, then all of your clothes and everything do cost a bit of money. So £500 a night, yeah, is a lot of money. Of course, it's a lot of money to a lot of people, but it's not regular either. You know, you can make £500 one night, £20 the next night, £1,000 the next night. It's very up and down. There's no consistency in it anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Big problem.
And so then what choices do people make when they say, well, this isn't for me anymore? I mean, do people, like you gave the example of the woman who has been, you know, started at 18 and finished at 45 and now is retired because they earned enough money and they put the money away. Mm-hmm. Or into houses, wherever they invested it. But what do people do? Where do you go on to after you've done something like this? Is the transition into a regular job something that happens often for people, do you think?
I wouldn't say so, just because there's the lack of CV. I mean, unless you're a clever stripper, then you would have either stripped 3 nights a week and then done another job on the side and kind of bumped both of them up. Or, I mean, there's always things like going into like personal care. So a lot of them like go into like eyelashes or hair or something that can be like quickly done, I guess. Or a lot of them get sugar daddies, which you can still do as an older woman. Actually, they're probably the best at it, older women, because they can carry themselves better and it's more kind of slow and steady wins the race. So I think a lot of my friends that I've known who have got a bit too old for it or have had kids or things like that, they move into things like that. Sugar babying being one of those things.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And so for those who stay within the adult industry, how easy is it to move from one to the next
job?
Yeah.
What as in being like a dominatrix and moving into a sugar baby and all those things?
Yeah. I mean, no, it's like if you're stripping, I mean, presumably some people, as you do, do more than one thing at the same time.
Yeah.
But others don't. They sort of, you know, they're stuck on their one thing and then they're looking for something else to move into in the adult industry. I mean, to me, it seems like CAM would be the easiest thing to see people moving into easily without having to think too much about it.
Yeah, I agree. However, like now, even with lockdown being a thing, I mean, it's less so now. Online was just crazy busy, but with the amount of men that were on there, the amount of girls kind of doubled too. So it's just like anything else. I think, the best way to do it, from my experience, is to have your fingers in lots of different pies. So maybe do a couple of days of CAM, a couple of days in the strip club, a couple of days with a sugar daddy, and then work in a dungeon one night a week. And then it means that you've got friends and people in lots of different places, and you can not be stuck working till 6 a.m. in the club 5 nights a week or just be sat at home being a recluse, being a CAM girl. You know, you can get out a bit more. I think that might... I mean, they say that people like lose their soul doing this job, but I think that's probably a way of keeping a little bit of humanity alive if you're in different environments.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So from the myth perspective, you know, the myth is and always has been that people who work in the adult industry in general are people who can't do anything else.
Yeah.
And it is a myth. it's true for some people. But there are an awful lot of people who make this as a choice, who do this as a choice, either because they enjoy what they're doing or because it is a relatively easy way of earning money.
Yep.
And we say relatively because it is relative. It's, you know, physically dancing for that many hours is hard, bloody work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not just that though. It's like, it's people, some people that have like the mental stamina, like you do see women go in thinking, oh, you know, the Hustlers movie came out, I'm going to be like Jennifer Lopez and get on a pole and earn thousands in one day. Like, that's just not how it works. It's just like any other job. There is tips and tricks. There is some form of technique to it. So, you know, it's just like OnlyFans. I was talking to one of my friends about that the other day. People have this preconceived notion that you start an OnlyFans and you'll be a millionaire overnight because you hear all these really crazy stories. It's absolute rubbish. You need to put the work in. You need to know what you're doing. It's not like you can meet your first ever sugar daddy and get bought a house. These women have been plugging away at it and putting in the graft for years and years and years. However, yeah, anyone can do it. It's just like any job. I think if you put your mind to it, you can do it. And it is a quick way of earning money.
Well, I don't think anyone can do it. I mean, I do think, you know, there are some expectations about body shape and size.
Well, you know what? Well, I mean, you know what? I don't know if I agree with you there, because I've seen a big array of different types of women come into the club, and it does not matter. Like, karma is a thing. You know, it's not just about like your body shape or how much you go to the gym or how, you know, well educated you are. You can literally be whoever you want to be in these clubs. And I think that is a great like factor of it for most women. You know, lots of different men like lots of different things.
I mean, for cams, I know that's true, because there's a whole market. I did an interview for season 4 of The Sex Business that where they were, I don't know if they're using this bit, but where they were talking about camming was part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's huge niches for camming. I mean,
yeah, right. There is.
You know, anything you're into, there's somebody who's doing it.
Oh,
somebody
there is.
Who wants to see it. And so just as long as you get the right people together, there's money to be made there. And there, it really doesn't matter. Body shape and size doesn't make a difference. I mean, there's a huge niche of supersized women.
Yeah.
And the people who love them. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what you're talking about, like super, super, super size, I mean, you know, fair enough. You can't be swinging around a pole. Like, just even the logistics wouldn't work, right? And same with being in these really tiny, tiny booths. They are so small that you can barely like do anything. However, that when it comes to like being a size 16 women, they do work as strippers, you know? They've got lots of fans and men that come in, they're regulars all the time because they're offering something that the stick thin aren't, if you see what I'm saying. So like, and a lot of them are earning 10 times the money because, do you know what I mean? They can't just be beautiful. They have to work with something else, and that's their brain and their personality, their conversation, you know? So yeah, if you're talking about, you know, being, you know, a stereotypical stripper wouldn't look like, then fair enough. Like, I completely agree with you there.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it is, I mean, people forget that it isn't just about how you look. It's like, I talk to people all the time, you know, sexual confidence is enticing. Sexual confidence is what really turns people on. It gives you charisma, and it doesn't matter. Often doesn't matter what the package is when you can turn that on. And that's what gets people to make the offers and to give you the money. It's not so much the body, although the body is a big part of it, obviously, but it is the way you interact, and it is what you're radiating. It is that energy. 100%. And that's what does it. That's what makes it exciting. And that connection with the man or the woman that you're making when you're dancing is what gets you paid. If you don't make that connection, if you're vacant, you don't earn very much money, even if you're gorgeous.
Yeah, that is the truth. And that's the thing that people don't understand. And the things I've witnessed so many times, girls will be sat in the changing room like, I don't understand why I haven't made any money tonight. I was like, because you've got a face like a slapped ass. Like, no one wants to, no matter how, you know, much hair you've got on your head today, it really doesn't matter. Like, you can also, it's like one of those things where if you've got something bad happening at home or something else in your life is not great, and you, it does emulate into your work space, and men and women can feed off it. It's just the easiest thing. And like, because it is a job heavily based on acting a lot of the time, but there's only so far you can go with that. So yeah, it, you know, you can literally see straight through people in that, in those places, 100%.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I do think that's one of the more, the things that people miss is that there's a ton of energy behind that. So we're a couple of minutes from break again, believe it or not. This always goes so quickly. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of the other myths and I don't know, let's talk some high points and where you want to go for the future and any tips you've got for those at home who would like to learn how to dance.
For real.
Or strip, because that's definitely a thing. And there's so many people who are embarrassed and therefore won't make the effort. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes after some words from our sponsors.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN. Functional Medicine with Dr. Robbins looks at how natural healing and biological dentistry can safely and effectively treat most health problems. You'll hear about the innovations in both traditional and alternative medicine therapies with doctors and dentists, along with discussions with chiropractors, medical experts, homeopaths, naturopaths, and energetic healers. It's great to have all the best information in one place. And Functional Medicine with Dr. Robbins brings it all together. Listen Thursdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're with you wherever Alexa and Google are. At home, in the car, on your smart TV, and your connected devices.
Hey, Alexa.
Hey, Google. Play my favorite Voice America podcast on TuneIn.
It's just that easy. But make sure you actually mention the name of the podcast show to make it work.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The Voice America Live Events Channel is here now to showcase your corporate, individual, or organization's live event. Visit voiceamerica.com/live events to see all of our past live events and find out more. Whether it's a multi-day conference, special speaker, or single-day event, we've got everything to make your event a success. We can do a few hours or a few days. For more information about taking your event to the next level, call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or email info@voiceamerica.com. Again, that's Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or send us an email to info@voiceamerica.com. Voice America is where you are and where you want to be. Join us around the globe as we broadcast live from some of the most interesting events available. Don't forget to view all our live events, including on-demand access to past events that you may have missed by visiting voiceamerica.com/live events.
Are you ready to live to 100? Join Dr. Joe Casciani and his program that shows us that age is just a number. You can age with fresh and inspiring perspectives, whether it's staying physically fit or keeping mentally fit. With great stories, plenty of advice about successful aging, and brighter outlooks, you just might join those who are living to 100. The Living to 100 Club is broadcast live every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
This is the A to Z of Sex, featuring Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. We know you have questions. We welcome you to call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. feeling a bit shy? It's okay. Dr. Lori Beth loves to read your emails too. Send them to loribeth@drloribethbisbee.com. Now, more of the A to Z of Sex.
Welcome back to the A to Z of Sex with Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee. And this week it is N is for Naked Dancing, and I've got the amazing Chloe with me.
And we're doing— having me.
My pleasure. We're doing that third segment of three. So before the break, I did say I definitely want to make sure that we're talking about the tips for dancing, learning to dance or dancing at home. Now, I know that so many people, women and men, get uncomfortable and embarrassed about disrobing or about dancing. If you're not watching me dance, I dance fine. If somebody's watching me dance, I'm a nightmare. I have no rhythm and I can't do anything. So stripping for my partners is never an easy thing for me because I don't feel graceful. I just feel completely self-conscious. So what kind of advice can you give people who want to be able to at least just be graceful taking off their clothes?
Well, first of all, I would say get yourself a playlist I've got my lap dance playlist on my Spotify that's got 150 songs on it from like all the years I've danced, and they're all my favorite songs that I'll like won't even know the name of them, but I'll get on the pole and I'm like, ooh, I'm feeling myself. That will help. Like with like men and women, as long as you've got a great song that you love, that is the basis of it, first of all. And then I think have mirrors. I've got a mirror above my bed. I've got a mirror beside my bed. I've got a mirror, I've got mirrors all over my wardrobe. So like, you know, then if you look, if you're like worrying about what you look like and you're worrying about your angles and things, if they're there in the bedroom with you, you can always refer back to the mirror and like, you don't have to look at them then. You can look at yourself. Because I think the eye contact thing when you're disrobing or doing anything sexual with a person, that takes time. If you don't know them very well, like if it's like a kind of first couple of like times, then the eye contact's difficult unless you've had a few drinks. But and also it's when like when you're practicing, mirrors are great for that. So I would, and then get yourself something great to wear like before you disrobe. That would be, I mean, for me in the bedroom, I know it's the bedroom, but a pair of heels, like just a small pair of heels, like or just some nice, a nice thong or something that makes you feel like, okay, I feel sexy now. Like heels always do that for me. Like I'm like, oh, I can walk better in them. Flat footedness around the bedroom is never a good thing. I think for men as well, it's like, just make sure you're feeling fresh and like yourself, you know, have something cool on to begin with. So then when you take it off, it's just like, yeah, birthday suit.
Forget the heels. I can't do heels for love nor money.
A nice thong then, a good thong, a good pair of panties.
Well, I've got a lot of leather too, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love leather.
I do the sub thing, you do the dom thing, so, right?
Yeah, but it feels so good for other people and for yourself.
Yeah, I've got lots of leather, but I also have nice lingerie. I've got, there's nothing like wearing a matching bra and pants, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to wear a bra, there's nothing like having on a matching set. And throw out the granny panties, guys. I don't care how big you are. We all know I'm not small, right? But I don't care how big you are. There are sexy panties for you.
Yes.
There is no reason to be wearing granny panties when you're entertaining. You should not be wearing them.
Just don't wear any. Just don't wear any then.
Yeah, I mean? That's right. Go commando, which is always nice. I swear, I think lockdown has had many more people going commando than ever before.
Literally so good. I love it.
It's like so many people who are only dressing from the waist up.
honestly, like me now, I have a t-shirt on and nothing else. And it's like, it's so great. Like even my customers on cam, they'll have a shirt on and I'll be like, oh, did you just have some Zoom meetings today? And they'll be like, they'll stand up and they'll have like their baggy shorts on. I'm like, oh, so funny. Cracks me up.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so much more comfortable not to have to worry about what you're wearing, right?
100%.
It also makes for some interesting things. Now, guys, you know, we talked about this. You can do a whole lot more if you're unencumbered. I mean, and if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you should go watch V is for Vibe, because we talked all about remote control toys on that show.
Oh my God, I love Vibes.
We had such a good time talking about that. You got to be careful in meetings with that, though. It can be a little bit
naughty.
Well, it's not just that. It's like even the ones that they call silent are not silent.
They're not. Like right. me and my partner, we took one out the other day to a bar, and it was one of those remote control ones that you hold in your hand, and you can kind of it kind of goes from your pulse or like yep. the way you're walking, and you. And I was sat on the chair, and I was like, I was not making any movements, but the kind of chair underneath me was. Oh no. It was like the guy bringing us the shots. He was like, are you guys okay? Whose phone is ringing? I'm like, oh, it's just inside my asshole. It's just so funny. But yeah, I get you.
The only time you can do that is if you're able to be muted in the meeting.
True.
Right. So yeah. You're muted in the meeting. And so while you're muted, you could be doing whatever you're doing. And then as soon as you're unmuted,
you got to cut it out.
Well, yeah, because people hear more than you think, and you just don't want, you don't want the trouble that goes with that. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
So I remember that when I took a strip class once, mm-hmm. That the instructor said it was things like a single touch or a glance or moving in towards the person and then moving away from the person that were the things. So it's like you don't even really have to be able to dance if you can just kind of coordinate your movement in, get closer to them, move away from them with the beat of the music, you'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I mean, it's also the way like you hold yourself, that for me is just, it matters. Like being an ex-dancer, like the bevel, any girl who just does any type of things with their legs and just makes yourself as hourglassy as possible and just keeps like a focused stare on, who wouldn't want that? You don't want arms flailing around. You don't want to be looking like you're trying too hard. There is absolute success in stillness and like eye on the prize, whatever it is. And like for me, like, I mean, we've all had strip dances. You don't want someone who's just contorting their body like exorcism style. Like no one wants that, It's awkward to look at. Like, where do you look? So yeah, I back you on that 100%.
Exorcism style.
That's oh, no wonderful. Way. That's the exorcism, that one.
I love that. So I do want to make sure that people know that. So you have this podcast.
Yeah, I do.
Is it a weekly podcast?
It is a little weekly podcast. We're a little baby podcast right now. We've only been out, I think we've got 13 episodes. So yeah, it's every Wednesday, every hump day. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Like it started off with me and my housemate, Rosie, who's a sugar baby, but she's also a muggle. She works a day job. So she's got no time to talk to me about all her slutty shit anymore. So now it's just me. And I've had a lot of my customers on there who are doctors and who are sex therapists and things like that. So we talk about not just only the things that happen in the strip club, but also other things as well that are like more substantial and I really, really enjoy it. So come and find us on Stripper Stories Podcast, where I have an Instagram as well.
Yeah. Go and make sure that you follow that as well. And for those of you who remember that there is another podcast that I'm doing these days, which is Dr. Lori Beth Bisbee's Erotic Library. I think we're on episode 18. And that is a podcast in which I read my own erotica. I also read erotica of others with their permission. And I have authors on to read theirs too. If you join the Patreon, then you get to the interviews with the other authors, bonus readings, swag, and all sorts of extra stuff by joining and helping support both that podcast and this. All you have to do is be a patron at $10 a month in order to do that. And it's well worth it because there's so much extra content. But you should definitely take a listen. If there's an author that you know of, or there's somebody for the A to Z that you think really needs to be on this podcast, please email me. You can reach me at drloribeth@azofsex.com and also at loribeth@drloribethbisbee.com. Do email me and let me know who it is that you want to hear from. Because without that, I'm just going to do what I feel like doing. And hopefully you'll like it. Any topics you want. So we have a last couple of words. So are you pro-doming at the moment?
No, I'm not. Everything is literally ground to a halt. It's a little bit more difficult now. But yeah, so I'm just camming at the moment, unfortunately. Right. Even a lot of the dungeons have closed. So.
Well, I know the dungeons are closed at the moment. But yeah, So you're not doing anything online, just the camming, just to be completely safe.
Yeah, that for me that works. And also the fast, I mean, I've done a bit of pay pigging. That's okay for me, like the financial domination. But like when it comes to pro domination, it's for me, it's better in person. And so, yeah, I'm just going to wait until everything's back up and running if it ever does happen. So yeah, well,
it'll happen. It's just going to, my suspicion is it's just going to take a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And so next week, the letter will be O. And I'm not going to tell you what it's for yet, but I do hope you'll join us again. Do look out for the next set of dates for the erotic fireside chats. And if you love what we do and you want to be more involved, head over to the A to Z of sex.com and sign up to hear all about what I am doing and to get access to new content as it comes out. Thanks again for joining me, Chloe.
Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. I look forward to hearing from all of you next week. Please be safe, but have a lot of fun. Get sexy, get hot, enjoy yourselves, and I'll see you next week.